All right, everybody, we're going for the gold today. This is not an Olympic plug. Today we're talking about robes of royalty. Third reading, Parshas Tetzave, chapter 28, verse 31. The Torah now instructs Moshe Rabbeinu ve'asisa es me'il ha'ephod. You will make the robe of the ephod. The ephod is the backwards-like apron the Kohen Gadol wore. And this robe will be made klil tcheles, purely of this turquoise kind of wool. Rashi says, ve'asisa es me'il ha'ephod. What does me'il ha'ephod mean? So he says, even though the me'il, which is the robe, and the ephod, which is the apron, or backwards apron, are shnei, they're two different garments. So why is it called me'il ha'ephod if it's two different garments, like they're sewn together? And the answer is, says Rashi, she'ha'ephod nasan olav l'chagura, because although the robe is worn separately from the ephod serves as a belt, as a sash for it. And because the ephod, which has kind of like belts coming around the front, that's tied over the robe, so therefore it's called me'il ha'ephod because the belt of the me'il ends up being the ephod. The ephod is this backwards apron. It's got a lot of fabric on the back. However, the ephod also has fabric coming forward, and that sash ties the robe together. So that's why it's called me'il ha'ephod. All right, so now we know why it's called me'il ha'ephod, even though really we're talking today about the robe, not about the apron. Klil tcheles, of purest turquoise wool. Rashi says the word klil means pure, absolute, 100%. Kuloi tcheles. This, unlike many of the other garments of the Kohen Gadol, like the choshen and the ephod, which are made of a potpourri of different wool, of different strands, which are woven together in a very, very colorful and beautiful way. Here, this was a pale turquoise blue. All tcheles. She'ein min acher mu'urav bei. There is nothing else mixed into it. The robe was only one color. So the robe, monochromatic. No variegation whatsoever. Now the Torah gives us instructions, once we know about the color and the material that's used for the ephod. Verse 32, V'hoya piroishoi, the mouth for the head, b'soichel will be in it. Sofa yilafiv, it'll have a lip. It'll have like a special hem to it, a special end to it. Soviv around it. Maise oireg, this will be not sewn, but rather woven. Kifitachara, like a coat of mail, like armor. Yiyaloi, it'll have for it. Loi yikorea, it shall not be torn. So let's start off with Rashi, and then we'll take a look at the other Mefarshim. V'hoya piroishoi. So obviously, if this robe is to be worn, there's going to be two openings. One is going to be somewhere where the neck comes through, and the other will be the opening at the bottom, where the feet of the Kohen Gadol comes. So there's two openings. It's a robe. There's the open on top and open on the bottom. So Rashi tells us, pi ha-me'il, the mouth of the me'il will be begavai, at its height. So if you took this robe and you folded it over fully, so to speak, at the right in the middle would be psichas beis hatzaver. That's where the area for the neck would be. B'toichai, in the middle of it. Rashi says, b'toichai in it means, should be understood kitargumo, as unkelus renders it. What does it mean, b'tocho in it? In it means kofel gavei, that it's folded over into it. Kofel toichai, in other words. Folded over in. Liyes le sofa, so that it has a lip. Kfilase, because of this double nature, it's a little bit thicker. Vahoyo maise oirig, and that thicker edge, that thicker lip, was the handiwork woven rather than v'leba machat, not sewn. So now, and what is that like? It's kifi tachara. Kifi tachara means, Rashi says, tachara means a coat of mail. As Unkelus renders it, Rav Unkelus says kifi sirion. And sirion is a coat made of mail, which the soldiers wear on the top, like as a shield. The lomadno, we learn from this, shasiryonim shalahem piem kafel teichon. From this we learn that the coats of mail, in other words, in medieval times, in Rashi's times, maybe the coats of mail look different, but the coats of mail worn in ancient times, in biblical times, were folded over within. Leikorea, what's the reason for these instructions of folding it over and making a thicker or reinforced hem or reinforced lip? In order it shouldn't rip. V'akoiroi, since the Torah says lo yikorea, it should not rip. One who does rip it, so oivir balav, that person would violate the negative mitzvah, shenemer, as it says, shazev, where this is miminyan halavim, this is included in one of the negative commandments of the Torah, do not tear the opening, the lip of the me'il, of this special robe. It's actually one of the 630 mitzvahs. Rambam holds also like that. V'lo yizach ha-choshen, and the same is true, also with regard to the choshen, not moving off of the ephod, that it has to be fastened. It has chains on the top, woven chains on top, and it has cords on the bottom. V'chein lo yasuru mimenu. We learned earlier, Hanamra Badeh Ha'arin, which says with regard to the poles of the ark, the staves of the ark, all of these, Rashi says, are not the Torah telling you matter-of-factly what won't happen, but rather the Torah giving you an instruction. Here is how the clothing of the Kohen Gadol should be treated. Here is how the artifacts in the Mishkan have to be kept, that they shouldn't, it shouldn't rip, and the poles shouldn't be removed, and the Choshen should not move from its proper place.
Does that have anything to do with mourning and tearing there?
That is a very interesting question. I don't know. I never heard of it having to do with mourning. But here's what it does have to do with it. Kohen Gadol has to wear everything perfect. He's not to come with long hair. He's not to come in disheveled. He's not to come with torn clothes. And I guess the lip or the hem around the neck is easily torn. That's what often happens. So the Kohen Gadol clothes have to be treated with great care. And yeah, it can't tear. Whether it's ruling on mourning, let's put it this way. The Kohen Gadol is not allowed to show up in the Beis HaMikdash in an unkempt fashion. They always have to look resplendent, perfect. So if the clothing is torn, yes, it's a sign of mourning, but also it's like inappropriate. It's not a way to treat these special garments, and it's not a way to show up in the Beis HaMikdash. And here it's naturally inclined to tear. That's what usually happens, like the neckline. So therefore, it has to be made sure we don't tear it. Now, the Chizkuni says that this speaks not about the mouth, but rather at the hem, interestingly. But Rashi and most of the other Mefarshim do not agree with him. Ramban and others all say clearly this is talking about the neck, as does Rashi. So what does it mean, kifitachara yiyah, it should be like a coat of mail? So Rashi says, literally, a coat of mail, and it's reinforced, and because it's reinforced, it won't easily rip, and then you have to be very careful to make sure it doesn't rip. So the Rashbam says something very interesting. He says, lo yikareya is also telling you how it's made. Don't make a robe and then open a hole for the neck, which is sometimes how they do with clothing. You make a piece of clothing, and then it'll open later where the hole is going to be, and then they'll sew like a hem around it. He says the robe must be made lachatchila, to begin with, in a manner that the neckline is made as part of the garment. It's not something, lo yikareya means don't tear it open to create a neckline later, rather it's part of the weave, which means it's much stronger, because it's not open, they're weakened. The weave to begin with, the weave ends over there. It's also much more difficult to make a weave end with like a hole in the middle. It's very, very challenging. And that's probably why the natural way to do something like that is, I think people make a poncho, that very possibly you make it, you know, make a piece of fabric and create a hole. Here, the hole cannot be created. Lo yukareya, don't tear the hole, but rather as the part of the weave. So to begin with, this is the way it's made. The Sefarno says that you have to make sure it's exactly equidistant, exactly in the middle, that the robe is not a little longer in the front, but doesn't get longer in the back. Besoiche means right in the middle of it. Okay, so that's with regard to the top of the robe. And now we move to the bottom of the robe. Verse 33, V'asisa al shulav, and you make on its hem, rimoine t'cheles, pomegranates of wool, v'argamon, v'tilas shoni, this whole mixture that we had for other things as well. Make a mixture of all these different things together. And al shulav, on its hem, saviv, around, you have these little pomegranates. And pamoine zohav b'teichem, there are little gold bells affixed within them. Let's take a look at Rashi. What exactly does this mean? Rashi says, pamoine, pomegranates, are agulim v'chalulim hayu. They were round or round-like, but as we'll see, oval, and they were hollow inside. So these little hollow wool decorations that were sewn onto the hem of the garment. And Rashi says they were community moinim. They looked like pomegranates. Assume they were made kebetzas tanigurim. They were made like eggs, egg-shaped, so kind of like oval. Now, if they're made to look like eggs, why don't you just call them eggs? Why do you call them pomegranates? So I think that's because the design was not simply the egg is sealed, but the pomegranate has like a little crown on top. Especially when we talk about pomegranates, which are just beginning to ripen, just beginning to develop. Later on, they're quite round. but initially they're very oval. And then they kind of, as the pomegranate grows, as the tree matures, or as I should say, as the fruit matures, it fills in and becomes more round. But initially, when it's just a bulb, the pomegranate is like oval shape. So it's like an egg shape, but it's got on the top of it, it has kind of like, you know, like a crown, comes out like this. So the crown, so the little crown on top, and then you have this oval shape, and that was what the pomegranate looked like. All made of wool. Upamoinezov, and then there were gold bells. So Rashi says, these are zogim in bolin. We're talking here about a case with a clapper. So it's a bell. It actually made noise. It tinkled. Shebeteichem. Beteichem saviv, what does it mean, beteichem, amongst them around? Rashi says, beinehim. Between the pomegranates of wool, there were placed little gold bells, saviv around. Bein shnei rimeine, between two pomegranates, pamein echad, one bell. Davuk v'toli b'shuli hamil, which was attached and hanging from the hem of the robe. Now, incidentally, you may have heard of this. It's about almost 10 years ago already. They found a little gold bell in the sewage system that leads from the Harabayas down into, empties out near into the Silwan area. And they found, going through the different things that they were looking at, you know, 2,000-year-old mud, they found a tiny little bell. And they theorized that this bell could have been the bell of the Kohen Gadol. For all we know, it could have been some little girl's doll bell also. There's no way to know with any kind of certainty. It is true that if there was something that washed off in the base of Migdash, it would have ended up in that sewage system. And therefore, who knows? Who knows? Some people postulate that you can tinkle the bell and you can hear the tinkle that hasn't been heard for 2,000 years. The sound of the Kohen Gadol's robes, or at least the way it was at the time of the second base of Migdash. We will not know till Mashiach comes with any kind of certainty. Many people have replicated that little bell today. You can buy it as a necklace in Israel. It's a very popular item, especially amongst the certain segments of the population, you know, who see themselves as reclaiming ancient glory, especially doesn't want to build a base on Mikdash. They identify very strongly with this bell, and it's become like iconic. Anyway, Rashi says very clearly that this bell was placed in between the pomegranates, which hung from the robe of the Kohen Gadol's, the hem of the Kohen Gadol's robe. That's clear? We good? What's the purpose of this? Well, Torah says the purpose is that you're going to have this pamein zahav v'rimein, pamein zahav v'rimein, a gold bell and a pomegranate, a gold bell and a pomegranate. Al shuli hamil saviv, that'll be all around and around. And verse 35 says v'hayalare in l'shades, it'll be upon Aaron to serve. V'nishma koylai, the sound of his approaching will be heard. V'vayal hakodesh, when he comes into the sacred precinct. Lefnei Hashem of our God, uvetzeisoy, and when he goes out, v'lo yamos, and this will not cause the opposite of life. So, Ibn Ezra says that when Aaron will approach, there will be tinkling, and that tinkling will help that his prayers should be heard, and Hashem will accept. This will be like the musical accompaniment of his prayer. So this is a prayerful tinkling. Similarly, we have today in many communities, it's customary that the crowns of the Sefer Torah, or decorations of the Sefer Torah, which are actually called euphemistically rimonim, go figure, you know, those two things that go in Atzchaim called rimonim. It doesn't really make sense, but because it's not a pomegranate, but this idea of pomegranate shape, and the pomegranate shape has kind of inspired much Sefer Torah jewelry and accoutrement, and many of them have little bells, so when the Torah is coming, you can hear the Torah is coming, and the obvious reason would be to alert the people, to show proper respect for the Torah is supposed to rise. So the Ibn Ezra says this is what would accompany Aaron, and then in this way his prayers would be heard. Ramban says that when he would come to the Holy of Holies, he would have his hands full. He would have the incense, he would have the fire pan. How do you knock? How do you show respect? So, but he can't knock, so therefore he rings the bell. But there's no bell system, and if it would be, he still wouldn't be able to ring it. So therefore, Aaron, who approaches the Holy of Holies, has little bells tinkling. It's as if he's knocking, as if, so to speak, respectfully asking permission instead of intruding and coming in.
Is this only when he's going to the Holy of Holies? Well,
it's a really good question, because he didn't even wear this when he went to the Holy of Holies. So what is Ramban talking about, right? I guess you could say when he went into the Kodesh. So why didn't everybody else have to knock? I don't know. That's what Ramban says. Ramban says it's kimavakish reshus. It's like asking permission before you come to the Beis HaMikdash. The Kohen Gadol is as if he's announcing his arrival, and this is a respectful thing to do. Maybe the Kohen Gadol more is expected of. That's what he has to do there. You know, it's interesting, we go to the ohel, also the custom is to knock before you go inside. Right? It's a sign of respect. The Chizkuni says that the reason for these tinkling bells is so that the Jewish people should be aware that Aaron is now davening on their behalf, and that this should inspire them for prayer. So, not so much for Aaron, not so much for his being respectful, but rather this is for others, for the ears of others. Of course, Elu ve'elu divrei Elokim Chayim, we have all the teachings of all of our Rishonim, that's all Torah, it's all true. It was for Aaron, it was for his prayer, it was for his respect, for him to show respect, it was also for the Jewish people. Everybody, so to speak, had something to do with this, and the bottom line is, we had tinkling little bells that were adorning the ring, the ringing or tinkling on the bottom of the robe of the Kohen Gadol. Okay, so, Rashi says, a pomegranate and a bell. A pomegranate and a bell, all along the bottom, right? Let's take a look now.
Is it embroidery?
Well, they're I guess they're knit. Little, very tightly wound, tightly knit little pomegranates. But now, we're going to take a look and see that Ramban disputes Rashi. Ramban has a very different perspective on this. Take a look in the Birum book, Reish Nun Dalet. So after the quotation from Rashi, we have a quote from Ramban. In fact, Ramban begins his disputation with Rashi with a big question. He asks an obvious question. He says, Lo yodaiti, I do not know, lama asa harav hapamayinim la'atzmam. Why did the master, Ramban, respectfully referring to Rashi, he said, why did he make these bells independent? Meaning that it was a pomegranate, a bell, bein shnei d'mayin, between two pomegranates. Ki im kain, if so, leho yohar d'mayinim sham shim klum. Then he says, what purpose did the pomegranate serve? They're just there. The im lanoi, so if you'll say, what do you mean they're there? It's a decoration. It's an accoutrement, an accessory. It looks nice. He says, im lanoi, if it's for be nice. Lom ha yoyisim kirim mayinim chalulun. Why would you make hollow pomegranates? Yasem kimin tapuchizov. If it was a decoration, make gold apples. Pomegranates. Pomegranate, wool pomegranates. He says, I don't understand. If it serves a purpose, which Ramban maintains that it does serve a purpose, Ramban says that these wool little decorations were hollow and the bell was fitted into it. So you had the pomegranate which opened and then what was peeking out? A bell. And maybe it muffled the tinkle, so the tinkle was less sharp, was more muffled because first it came through wool. So it still made noise, but it was a very respectful noise. And the purpose of having the wool was to muffle the sound of the tinkling bell. It shouldn't be so sharp. But if, is according to Rashi, if it's simply there as a decoration, the bell, I know why it's there. It says clearly in the Torah, so his arrival should be announced. There should be noise. We want there to be noise. So we know why this bell is there. But if it's about having a decoration, Ramban says, in that case, make gold apples. You had a question?
No, that's good.
You had a question?
I don't understand why Ramban even questions Rashi, because it says clearly, you know, limon, and like pshuto shel mikra, how else would you interpret that?
I'll tell you how, Rashi. I have Ramban would read it. He says, you have asisa shulav rimoyne tcheles agom until ashani, all the different kinds of material, saviv upamoyne zav bitoicham, the gold bell in them, meaning inside of the pomegranate.
Doesn't read, the pasuk doesn't read that way.
Not
it really doesn't read that way.
So that's how Ramban reads betocho. Betocho means inside them.
So the question is why a pomegranate rather than any other fruit?
That's what it seems to be the question.
And that means that there's nothing in between the bell. That there's a bell.
That means that bells, there's nothing in between the bells, right? It's all, it's hemmed, there's bells hanging, and the bells are placed inside these little wool covers, if you will. So l'chaire, it would seem, what's Shailas Ramban? What's the question of the Ramban? Lo ma'yaisim kerimenim chalulim. Why did you make them like hollow pomegranates? So if you want to say like Ramban, it makes sense, because a hollow pomegranate perfectly would fit a little bell. A bell is usually oblong, and this would be oval. It would be a perfect fit for a little bell. But according to Rashi, if so, if it's a decoration, ya'asem kimin tapuchizov, then it should be apples made of gold. So the Rebbe says, I beg your pardon? This is not really understood. Eini muvenes. V'chibameh adifes tzuras tapuchem al tzuras emreinim. If you want to say, Rashi says, Ramban is saying, why have them made of wool, make of gold? It's prettier if it's gold. Okay, fine. But why are apples any prettier than pomegranates? Like, what's wrong with the fruit? Should it be blackberries or blueberries? Maybe little pineapples? I don't know. Like, why pomegranates? Ramban's perspective makes sense because the bell is usually oblong. Most bells are oblong. So since the bell would be oblong, and this is a fruit that starts off in that shape. Okay, fine. So it fits, the pomegranate fits, and because the mouth of the pomegranate, it opens up like that with a little crown that goes out like that, going out like that. So that's where the bell would come out. That's most bells. We envision bells, even though the bell they found doesn't look like that necessarily, but we envision bells to be kind of this shaped. They get narrow on top, you know, and they're wide, and that's when the clapper claps. Okay, fine. So if a bell is shaped like this, it makes sense that you would have a pomegranate. The pomegranate's hollow, and it's opening. It would have these like little crowns almost, little protrusions, and the bell would stick out, and it would ring. Okay.
I would think it's extra effort to make the pomegranate hollow.
Well, if you're not going to have a pomegranate hollow, how will you fit the bell in?
Now, are we saying that the pomegranate was hollow, and this is the reason he's thinking this, or that we're not sure if the pomegranate is
even
hollow?
Even Rashi said the pomegranate's hollow. Everybody said the pomegranate's hollow. Right. Rashi says, "Kamin yimayim chalul." That's what Ramban says. So, what's the purpose? There's got to be a reason for it. So, according to Ramban, the hollow makes perfect sense. What went inside the hollow? The bell. According to Rashi, according to Ramban, according to Rashi, what was it doing? It's just there. It's just decoration. So Rashi says, like, you know, if you're talking decorations, Ramban says, I can think of nicer decorations. If you want to have decorations, make them of gold. Okay, like that part I get. You want to make them of gold. But why did Ramban seem to reach for the apples instead of the pomegranates? Why the change of fruit?
Original sin.
Original sin has nothing to do with fruit. Nothing. I mean, with fruit, but not with apples. The Gemara gives us four opinions. Apples is not one of them. In fact, quite the contrary, as you'll see in a moment. V'yishleimer. Shailos haRamban mevuseses al kach. The question of the Ramban is based on this. Shetzurus haTapuchim. Ramban, the Rebbe said, makes perfect sense because we have heard of apples already. Rashi himself used the term apples. When he spoke about the spherical shapes on the menorah, Rashi said, kimin tapuchim. Rashi said, apple-like. He used the image of the apple to describe these knobs or spheres that were on the menorah. So since we already have the idea of the apples, Ramban says, why did you create another image now? Why did you go now to a pomegranate? This is the Shaila Ramban. If it was for purposes of beauty, if it was to just for style, so madua nasa batsura semeinim. Why pomegranates? Why not batsura tapuchim? Why don't we do apples the way we had with the menera? Because the menorah specifically does not serve a purpose, all decorative. And there, when we have a decorative shape on the menorah, we identify it with the apple. The question is, why are we talking about a pomegranate? So, me'ata, aleinu levayres hatam l'shitas Rashi. This really actually does present a strong question to Rashi. Rashi himself, when he wants to invoke the image of beauty, the image of something decorative, he uses the term apple. So this is the question then. Why wouldn't Rashi reach for an apple again? Why this time did he reach for a pomegranate? The Yesh Leimer, the Rebbe gives us an incredible solution to this problem.
But the Torah uses the term pomegranate, not Rashi. The only question is whether it's placed inside the pomegranate.
Understood, but this is Ramban's point. Okay, you're right. It's not why Rashi reaches for a pomegranate. It's like, so why did the Torah use the term pomegranate? According to Ramban, it makes sense. Because this time we had to fit the bell inside. The bell wouldn't fit into an apple. But if we're talking here about just decoration, then the natural thing would have been to have an apple. In other words, what is Ramban's proof that betocho means the bell inserted into the wool rather than in between? Which was what was bothering you. He said, well, it says betocho. It says palm of rima, palm of rima. That makes sense. A palm on a bell and then a rima. That, That's how it sounds.
Exactly.
Right? The Ramban comes along with this.
You don't need to say that.
The Ramban comes along. Exactly. Why do you have to say that even? Exactly. The Ramban comes along with the idea. No, Betokho means inside it. Says, why does it say Pamariman? 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 So what is Ramban's proof? Ramban's proof is the fact that the Torah doesn't say apples, that the Torah says pomegranate. That's his proof. Because
that's still a distance away from proof.
Why is that? This is a proof. You're using a different kind of shape. There has to be a reason for it. So if you reach for a different fruit, according to Ramban, the reason is because it had to have the belfin inside. Therefore, it needed to be oblong. It's not a priori. Okay, well, Ramban seems to think it is. Listen up.
There is a point, because why say betocham in the pasuk also? So
right.
How do you reconcile the two?
So therefore, the betocham, along with the shape of the pomegranate, makes sense. Anyway, listen to what the Rebbe says. Matzinu shebnei Yisrael, we find that the Jewish people are nimshalu, are compared hein l'tapuach. Sometimes they're compared to an apple, like it says in Shir HaShirim, the beginning of the second chapter, ki tapuach ba'atze hayor, when the lover describes the image of his beloved, he says like an apple in the forest. Vehein l'rimin, we're also in this very same book in the fourth chapter likened to a pomegranate. It says ki pelach harimin rikoscho. So the question then becomes, why are we sometimes a fruit and sometimes a pomegranate? And the answer that's given, this is found in the Lukot Torah, as well as in the Amar of the Tzemach Tzedek, that tapuach refers to us when we are bedagar ruchnius nailus, we're living at a lofty spiritual vantage point. V'ilu rimain refers to us when we are bedagar nechus yeser, at a lower level. Where did you get that from? What the Gemara says. The Gemara says in Brachas, that afilu reikonim shabach, that even the empty ones amongst you, meaning referring to Am Yisrael, the Jewish people, even the empty ones, the ones who aren't filled with enough good deeds, nonetheless, malei and mitzvahs, they're filled with mitzvahs, karimain, like a pomegranate that's packed with seeds. Because that's what the pomegranate has, it's just a lot of seeds. Umikana hevdal, this then is the difference between kaftayrim shabim menorah, lirimainim shabim il. This is the difference in the apples. The menorah was decorated with apples, and the hem of the robe was decorated with pomegranates. Why? The menorah represents us, the Jewish people, and we are radiant, mi'irim, filled with light. We're illuminated. Bedarga haruchnius, in a level, a spiritual level, like we find with regard that to the menorah, that the seven lamps represent seven different levels in avodas Hashem. And therefore, the kaftorei amenorah, the knobs, the decorative spheres in the menorah are in the form of
apples.
The apples represent us. Kerem is lemaylas shel Yisrael. Hashulayim, the hems, the tachtis, the very lowest level of the meil. Loumazes reimzim laelu b'bnei Yisrael shel dargos amaruchnis nechusa. This represents Jewish people who are barely hanging on. They're just barely hanging on to the hem of the Kohen Gadol. They're almost gone. You see, one of them ended up down the sewer, right? They're right. They're right there. Their decorative shape is not the decorative shape of apples. Their decorative shape is the shape of the pomegranates. As this is a sign, the Kohen Gadol shows up. Even the Jews who are yelling and screaming for dear life, barely hanging on, even they are filled with mitzvahs, like a pomegranate is filled with seeds. And so this tells us that the Kohen Gadol has all of the Jewish people represented. In fact, when he goes into Davin, whose sounds, whose cries as you go in with? The cries of the people who are barely hanging on for their life. When he spoke about this, he metaphorized it. So when a person is drowning, what does he do? He makes a lot of noise. He's thrashing and making noise. And so he's begging for help. He's just desperate. But he says when a person is calm and everything's fine, the tzaddik represents the idea of lebekoyach, not with noise, very quiet, a quiet kol demamadaka, leberash, not with very quiet, very very comfortable. The tzaddik is exactly at home; he's at peace. But the Russia, the wicked Jew, is not at peace. He's thrashing, he's making noise, he makes issues. He's wholly uncomfortable. It's like, you know, sometimes a Jew shows up at the seder night, he's like totally uncomfortable. He's like just like. He can't adjust himself. He's asking questions. He's acting obnoxious. Why? Because he's uncomfortable. Is it? But he's there. But he's there. And that discomfort is a sign that this is touching him, that it moves him. And that's the sound that the Kohen Gadol would enter the Kodesh, the holy, and the holy of the area of the Beis HaMikdash, to pray with. And in this way, representing all of Am Yisrael When the Kohen Gadol like that, it's got all of Am Yisrael right in his heart, as we learned yesterday, and he's got the bells tinkling on the bottom, reminding him of the cries of those who show him, then we know we have a Kohen Gadol who's able to do his job right. And those are the prayers, as Ibn Ezra said, those are the sounds of the prayers that accompany the Kohen Gadol's prayers and bring them aloft.
So how does it reconcile? Is it inside or out, or not inside?
No, according,
explains why it's a pomegranate.
Explains why it's a pomegranate. Also, according to Rashi, explains why it's outside, because they want to muffle those cries.
Okay.
Those are cries that are... The noise is the point.
Okay. Good.
Yeah.